Hi, and welcome back to the Vaulting Pod. Today I'm going to talk with Thomas Lindquist from Denmark.
Well, and you tell a little bit about you, because I think not all of you, the people listen know who you are.
Well, I'm from Denmark, not on a high level, I'm just having fun. But then I have a small vaulting shop. I've been running for 9 years. I make unitards and I make barrels. Handles for barrels. I've been doing that for 9 years now.
Wow, that's a long time. So you're like, You have a lot, you know a lot in the business then.
That's why too.
Yeah. And, well, you said you're doing suits. Are you sewing them themselves or is someone else doing them?
Yeah, I have a partner in Germany who makes all the sewing for me. So I just, I try to make some designs. Then organize everything.
Yeah, that's cool. And do you design your suits, or is the person in Germany helping you?
It's a mix. I have some finished designs that they have made down in Germany that we just adapt with long legs and whatever we need for vaulting. And sometimes we make our very own suits that fits the customer.
Okay, so you can order customized suits as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. And also handles, as you say. Well, how do you have the time to do everything? Do you have this as your regular job, or do you have something else?
Well, I started when I was studying at the university. And I did my university study quite slowly over a lot of years. So I did have the time to take care of my business and start everything up.
Okay.
For the last 2 years, I've been having a full-time job as an engineer next to the shop.
Wow. So, and also...
It's a bit busy from time to time.
And also doing vaulting. I mean, that is a lot to manage, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what did you study? It was engineering? Or
yes, yeah? Mechanical engineering.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I think that's an advantage when making barrels and handles.
Yeah, I remember when I made my barrel, I had a local carpenter helping me with it, and he even went to the vaulting club I vaulted at that time, just so he understood how it was used. So it's really good when you have like a lot of some background of the building also, but know how it is used. So that's real good.
Yeah, I really feel we have made some pretty good barrels.
And how long have you been vaulting?
15 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. But I'm an old man, so.
And have you always been doing individuals, or have you done like pas de deux and freestyle as well?
It's mainly the teams. I have been doing a bit of individual, but I think teams is the most fun.
Okay. Yeah, I totally understand you. It's so nice to do something with other people together. Do you still do some team now?
Yeah, I do. I'm on a great team in Slagelse.
Yeah?
1 hour away from where I live.
Yeah, I think I remember the name. Slagelse, I think it's read in Swedish. And did you use your own clothes in your own club as well?
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's awesome. I really like that, because I mean, you want to have like a special design, and you can just say to your sewer, "I want to have this."
So I have a stock of my own clothing.
So you're just like, oh, today I feel for this, and I'm gonna take this. Oh, that's nice. Well, and I saw you on a Danish TV program, and I remember you said a sentence that I really liked, and it was something like, only a real man can wear spandex, right? I think this was cool.
That's an important point to get communicated, I think.
Yeah, and also, I mean, there are not a lot of men showing in vaulting that you see, and I think it's important to be some kind of role model as well.
Yeah, and also just to be yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fear what everybody else thinks.
That's good. Do you promote yourself as a male vaulter certainly, or you just go with the flow?
Yeah, it's more group of boys in Danish vaulting.
Oh, there.
Time to stick together.
Yeah. Ah, oh, that's good. I know the American boys, they stick together too, so they're the little American boy gang or something. So you're the Danish boy club for vaulting.
Yeah. Yeah. We sometimes make our own team and they start competitions just with us boys.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, but not very serious. We always try to make as much fun as possible.
Yeah. So the fun is the most important thing for you in vaulting.
Yeah, it is.
What makes it fun for you?
For me? Yeah, I think it's all the different experiences that you get. And all the team members that you share these experiences with.
Okay, okay.
That's really great.
So it's like the whole package. It's not just like the certain thing on the horse or something. It's like the whole experience.
Exactly. There's so much into vaulting. It's not just going down to a field and kicking to some ball or whatever. It's both the teamwork and it's the horse and the launcher and everything has to work together.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about a very important part here, why the sport is so attractive for many and attractive for their whole life. I mean, when people start, it's like they never stop. I mean, maybe they stop doing it, the vaulting, the gymnastics on the horse, but a lot of people, they continue by being a lunger or dressmaker or a hair maker for the team and the club. I mean, there are so many roles that somebody can have in vaulting, regardless of age. And I'm just thinking about it. We have one woman in Sweden and she's like, she's so old, she's using a cane to walk, a walking cane, but she's still in her club and still helping out, and she must be 80 plus. Also, she's like promoting a riding group for only elderlies in her riding club, and I think it's so awesome because yeah, sport is like, it is for everybody.
Yeah, it is.
And do you have any fun memory you would like to share from, yeah, I don't know, something you think about when you think about vaulting and having fun?
For the last couple of years, I've started to doing more and more organizing of vaulting, making competitions and stuff. And I think one of my greatest experiences was to organize a big final in barrel vaulting. So vaulting on a barrel instead of a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had this series of competition during a winter, and then we have a big final at the big stage in Tivoli. It's like a big amusement park in the center of Copenhagen. Yeah, so 3 years in a row we had this big final at the big stage in Tivoli. And that was a great experience, I think.
What was so great with that experience? What did you like?
Just this, it's a quite famous stage that many international the artists have been performing on.
Oh.
That day, we took it for vaulting. And that entire day was just, it turned Tivoli into a vaulting place.
Oh my god, that is nice. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I have been to Tivoli sometimes as a kid, and yeah, it's a really great amusement park. I really like it. So I can totally imagine that must be so awesome in the center of Copenhagen and like all the people. Are there a lot of people that are not from vaulting that do come there too?
Sorry?
Are there other people like not into vaulting that like passing by and they're just like looking?
Yeah, of course. It's a really good opportunity to spread the word and show vaulting to a lot of ordinary people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had television coming and recording everything and get it shown to a lot of people online as well.
I know that Sweden has tried to get a cup as well in vaulting on wooden horses. But then came COVID, so it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I'm so jealous of you guys in Denmark because you're having like this great big party. I mean, it sounds like a big vaulting party to me.
I think for the last couple of this entire year, we haven't been having anything in Denmark as well.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen that you've been like shipping your wooden horses like all around in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. What is the farthest you've been shipped your wooden horse?
We had, to Germany, Sweden, and Norway, and Finland.
Yeah.
To Finland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have been trying to get one to Spain as well, but it's getting a little bit tricky to get them so far away.
Oh no, that's sad. Can't you like make them to an IKEA package, build it up myself?
I would try a lot of stuff, but it got really, really expensive.
Yeah. Oh, I get that. Well, I have a simulator, and when I shipped it to Sweden from in England, I was thinking about getting it myself first, but then I calculated and I was like, okay, no. Well, it could happen something on the road, and then I have to drive with a horse van or a trailer, and then it would maybe get crashed, and I was like, no, I'm paying somebody else. They can take whatever money they want to. So.
But it's a bit easier with the vaulting simulator that's already quite expensive.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, you put it in a crate. They call it the crate, this big box. Yeah. And yeah, of course, it is. I mean, you're putting already a lot of money into it. And then it's like, yeah, okay, good. I'll pay for the shipment. But I know it's not easy. And it costs, yeah.
Actually, I've been I've been driving to Norway myself. I was the customers up there.
Wow.
It's that's a lot cheaper than using a freight carrier.
It is, wow. And you got a trip to Norway, and did you have some fun in Norway?
Oh yeah, so that's great.
What did you do?
Actually, we took the ferry up there and arrived in the morning very early. And then we just spent the day in Stavanger and took home the same evening.
I have been to Stavanger too. It's like a really lovely city.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice place to spend the day.
Did you went there in summer or in winter?
I went there last summer and then a few weeks ago as well.
Okay, because I went there in summer too, but it was like, I think 2009. But they told me in winter that it can go like skiing down the hill because this town is so steep. So it's like, oh, I'm going to go on my ski to work. Yeah, and it's really nice by the ocean and with all the mountains and stuff. Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. And have you been traveling somewhere else because of vaulting?
Yeah, of course. They always go to the big competition to see the big championships and what's going in France and in Prague. And I visited the Norwegian championship as well.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, in Flyinge, of course.
Do you have a favorite competition place?
I think Flyinge is up there. I see a place in Denmark that's really great as well.
Oh, which one?
Vilhelmsborg.
Vilhelmsborg. Okay, is that like more in the north of Denmark?
In the center, about Aarhus.
Okay, yeah. I think I know what it is. Well, it's funny you say about Flyinge because a lot of people like it in Sweden. So.
Yeah, it is a great place.
For me, it's like, okay, so this is like the closest international competition for me. So when this is like one of the best, how are the other ones then?
I heard a lot of good things from Ermelo and Nisabua, but I've never been there myself.
Okay. Well, I can only imagine it would be nice to go to France, especially in summer, but maybe it's too warm as well.
It could be.
Do you have a favorite vaulting horse?
Yeah, I've had a lot.
Yeah?
A lot of great horses.
Tell me about them.
So I had my own horse many years ago. I had my own club in Roskilde.
Yeah.
And we had four horses. And one of them was really great. That was my horse.
Yeah.
Of course, it belonged to the club, but I really liked it.
What's the name of that horse?
Fenta.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just remember when we were training together last year. That's when I met you for the first time at Amanda's Horse, and Amanda's Horse Parko really likes you.
Yeah, and I like
Parko as well. Yeah, he's so cute. I like his canter. He has like this special canter when you look at it because he takes like this giant wide steps, and I think that it's really fun. And if you listener would like to see how he moves, there are some videos on my Instagram and maybe on yours too, right? And how is your training nowadays when you're doing vaulting mostly for fun? How do you structure your training?
We have training 2 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I have to drive. I have to drive for 1 hour each way to get there. But I think it's worth it. We have a really nice team and a nice horse as well.
Yeah. Okay, so and do you do something else besides that?
Yeah, I try to, but you know, a full-time engineering job and my own shop.
Yeah.
And organizing stuff. It's really hard to get time to anything else.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
I've been doing a bit of individual next to the team, like we did together.
Yeah, when we went to Tobisminde in Denmark. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. You had a nice suit. I guess it was your own company suit.
Of course. Of
yeah.
Course.
It was blue with golden golden lines, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a fan of glitter, so I always have to have some of that.
Yeah, well, you're looking good in that. I think so. well, do you have a what do you dream about in vaulting? What would you like to do? That you is there something that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I haven't done yet. I think I'm still getting too old to get like big vaulting results, to keep in shape and stuff like that. So for me, it's just having fun. But I'm doing more and more of organizing. Vaulting events.
Yeah.
I think that's really fun.
So if anybody listens and wants to have a good organizer, go and get in touch with Thomas. He knows how to do the job.
That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Would you like to be part in, like, I know Denmark is going to plan, like, the World Championship next year, right?
Yeah, they are.
Are you going to be part of that organization?
I am already part of that.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the competition?
I'm not really doing anything. I'm only going to help when we get closer.
Okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
There will be some really great people taking care of everything.
Yeah, it seems to me so exciting to have a world championship that close for Scandinavia. So I'm going to be there and helping there out as well. I just need to figure out how the job is going to be next year because it's still far ahead. So
yeah, it's really hard to plan so far out.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And I don't know how many days it will be. Do you know that?
2 weeks.
But maybe not 2 weeks vaulting.
No, I guess it's 5 days. Or,
yeah.
I don't know,
well, still, like that. That's a long time, but it's awesome. It's cool.
It is.
Yeah. Well, what made you start vaulting, Thomas?
Actually, it was kind of a coincidence. I was living next to a writing school. My little sister started writing at this school, and just randomly a vaulting team moved into this facility. And I just went down there to see what was going on, and it was really fun. So I started. And then it all began.
And then you were hooked like everybody else and never stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Did your little sister do some vaulting too?
A little bit, but she preferred ordinary riding.
Okay. Well, that's always good to have somebody who likes ordinary riding in the family, because then they can do the riding, you can do the vaulting, right?
Exactly, that's perfect.
Are you interested in any other sports?
Yeah, I'm doing a bit of swimming and running and biking.
That's good to have... To have your lungs, and for the lungs and the heart, it's really good for vaulting.
Yeah, exactly.
Too.
It's hard to stay in the proper shape when I'm only training with the team twice a week.
Yeah.
So I try to make a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that's really good. I hate all of those you were telling me about, all the sports. I just like do like everything that is like artistic, but like cycling, running, swimming. How do you push yourself to do that kind of stuff? Do you like really enjoy it, or how do you do?
I like swimming.
Yeah.
The ocean. That's really great. It's a great way to relax and just.
Oh, you swim in the ocean.
Nature.
Yeah, that's.
But I feel running. That's a bit. Yeah, you have to. Get yourself together to get out.
Yeah.
But it's good for you.
So you're just like thinking, okay, it will make me a better vaulter, so I go running.
I have to do it, yeah.
Well, and we've been talking a little bit about outfits and stuff. What do you usually wear when you're training then?
Yeah, ordinary vaulting leggings.
Yeah.
With a bit of glitter, of course. And,
with glitter? That's good. And what kind of colors do you usually have when you do vaulting?
I'm mainly blue.
Yeah, suits you well.
Navy or some kind of blue.
Yeah, okay. So you like navy blue also for competitions and for training then?
Yeah.
That's nice. Do you sell training pants as well in your shop?
Yeah, of course. Whatever you like, have it.
Ah, oh, that's awesome.
And shoes, of course.
Yeah. And shoes, yeah, that's good, because shoes is not really easy to get in Scandinavia, because everything is sold in Germany.
No, you're wrong. Everything is sold from Denmark.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Of course. Well, then next step for you is like a simulator then, right? Engineering?
Actually, yes. So I've been doing a lot of handles for the past couple of years. I've soon made 80 sets of handles.
Yeah.
And my plan is, when they are all sold, I'm going to start up with a vaulting simulator.
Oh, really? That's awesome!
Yeah, so I have this idea of a improved version, mm-hmm. where everything is going to be computer controlled. So instead of a mechanical movement,
yeah,
it's going to be electrical actuators making this movement.
Wow!
And I would be able to control everything with a computer and just press a button, and then it's canter, and then another button, and it's walking.
No, that's awesome. Wow.
That could be really nice.
So you want to have it that it can do all the three gates?
Yeah, exactly. That could be nice. I have been talking to some of my colleagues and people I know in this business. It's possible. It's just a bit expensive. So I have to talk to some more people and get the price down on a level where everybody can afford it.
I like that about your business, because it seems to me that it's not... I mean, let me put it right, but a lot of riding gear is very expensive, and especially vaulting gear. And I know that you're trying to put it down a little bit so, like, normal people can afford stuff better.
Exactly. I have a great job as an engineer, so I don't need to make money from my shop. I have what I need. So I just try to make everything what I want, but I have never made any money for myself.
Oh, well, you should have a little bit for it at least,
no,
I think.
Well, the shop pays whenever I have to go to a competition or to Norway or whatever.
Well, at least that is good. That is good. So you don't have to pay
for it. But I don't need to get money for myself. It's better for me to just make people happy and help them get into vaulting or to evolve in vaulting.
I really... That is such a lovely way of thinking, really. I mean, yeah, our sport is built by a lot of people who have the heart in the right place, because I mean, we don't earn anything more than maybe glory in the sport. It is a sport where we don't earn any money in competitions or stuff.
Not at all. You only spend money.
Yeah, it really does. And I mean, of course there are other sports too like this, but I think the difference is just that, I mean, the other riding sports, at least you can get some money at competitions, and vaulters do physically and mentally, I think, a harder job than a lot of riders would ever do. And I don't mean to underestimate riding. I know it is hard in its own way. Yes, and I would even say it's like one of the hardest, or even the hardest sport in the world, because when you're a top athlete, I mean, maybe not so much when you just... Yeah, just having fun, that's fine. I mean, it's tough too, but if you really, really want to be like the best vaulter in the world, you're going to have to sacrifice so much and work so hard. So, yeah, I've tried a lot of different sports, but it seems to me that I can't find a sport that versatile and hard like vaulting.
It really is, and that's the fun part. So many challenges.
Yeah. It's like, I think every vaulter is like, okay, how many times how much time I even spend with training, it is never enough. I mean, one training only for scissors. I mean, who does that? One exercise, one training. Well, do you have made some friendships in vaulting?
Oh yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Do you have any people you get inspired by in your own vaulting or your work?
There's a lot of people in Denmark that really inspires me.
Yeah.
Some really cool people that I love to follow.
Yeah, would you like to talk about them?
Yeah, of course. You know Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda. Yeah.
I really love her way of vaulting and just her energy.
Yes.
So great and inspiring.
Yes, and she has really worked her butt off the last 2 years at least. She has been developing very, very much in her vaulting, I think.
Yeah, and I really respect that.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and Amanda is planned to be on the podcast as well. I just had you first.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea, but...
I think it's a great idea. I think there are so many people who contribute in one or another way in vaulting, and that is really one of the thoughts I have behind this. I really want to get everybody who has something to give and wants to give on board here, because, yeah... I think there are so many great people around that are talked too little about, because the vaulters are often the spotlight, but like people like you who sell the stuff for vaulting, I mean, you maybe not be the person that is in the front all the time, and that's sad, because you should, because you make it possible.
Thank you.
Are you selling like on competitions sometimes too?
Oh yeah, and I'm actually going to be doing it with my shop.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I love going vaulting shopping. I mean, the only time you can do it is like on competitions. Well, are you looking forward to fleeing it?
Yeah, I am. I'm not going to compete there, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be there with my shop, and I'm going to be a volunteer.
Oh, you're going to volunteer as well. That's good. Yeah. That's nice. What are you going to volunteer with?
I'm going to be a ringmaster.
Ringmaster, okay.
Yeah, sounds very fancy.
Yeah, it sounds fancy.
I'm gonna take care of the melon banan, I think it's called in Swedish.
What? Say it again.
Melon banan.
It sounds like banana to me.
Yeah, it's just banana in Danish.
Tell me, what is it?
I think it's just the outside ring between the.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The big two houses.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you're going to manage who is coming in and who's going to go out.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not really sure, but I guess that's my job.
Well, at least it is better than standing and fixing the ground.
Yeah. I think it's a really nice task.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put it every morning, and every evening I'm going to be in the shop.
Oh, that sounds nice. I'm going to say hi to you. I'm going to sit and be first aid person since I'm a nurse, so... Yeah, it's not a bad job because I can look at everybody, but when they hurt themselves, I can't look anymore. So I have to take care of the people, but that's fine. But it's actually quite good to know what happens to people before they fall, because then I know how much, force they could be. It's really important to take care of your body, even if you want to compete. But I don't know. What do you think about how to take care of yourself when regarding injuries on vaulting?
Oh yeah, I have been having some problems with my knee, so I'm really trying to take care of it, and do some exercises, and try to stay strong to avoid any more injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you maybe have to talk to Amanda because she's a physiotherapist.
Yes, I already did.
Oh man, that's good.
She really helped me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. It's so fun because a lot of vaulters tend to get to study a physiotherapist. They want to take care of themselves and learn more about the sport, I guess. Yeah, and when you do your freestyles, where do you get your inspiration from?
Oh, lots of stuff. I'm quite a fan of Nicolas Andreani.
Yeah?
Yeah. But then I try to do something different. I'm not very artistic. So I just try to go in another direction and see whatever I can figure out.
So what do you like more, freestyles or compulsories?
Actually, I like compulsories. I'm not very good at it. But it's nice that everything is, you know what to do.
Do you have like a fun memory when it didn't went out as you wanted it, as on a competition or a training?
One time I was actually appearing it. I was competing at my first CVI.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an exercise that I've been training a lot on. But always in a t-shirt.
What kind of exercise?
A yoga press, I think it's called.
Okay. Mm.
So it went well at training with my t-shirt, but then I get to the competition and had a unitard on. But and then everything was completely different.
Yeah, that's a classic, right?
Yeah, so I couldn't do that exercise and adjust with everything.
Oh no.
It's a very important part of that that freestyle.
So you're just like, okay, I'm gonna get a t-shirt over destroying the outfit or falling off.
What am I gonna do here? Yeah.
And how did you manage that situation?
Yeah, I made a new freestyle.
You made a new freestyle, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, is it
2 minutes before?
Is it 2 minutes before?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, and actually, just this last competition, we had a team freestyle, but then one of our team members got in contact with a person with COVID, so she had to get into isolation.
Oh no.
Yeah, so we were 5 people left, and we didn't have any more time to train our freestyle.
Yeah.
And she was a very important part of this freestyle, so we had to make it over completely. And we could try it on the horse in the when it was walking, but yeah. We couldn't do it in canter, as we have to take care of the horse.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first time we made this this new freestyle was on the arena, in the arena.
Oh man, and how did that work out?
Well, it was better the second day, but we got it done.
You must have been proud after that, right?
It was a fun experience, especially after you finished it.
It was nice when it was finished. Oh yeah. Yeah, do you have like a favorite freestyle theme that you've been doing before?
I've never really done a theme. I'm just doing I'm not very artistic, so I'm just doing whatever.
You're just doing whatever, yeah. Yeah. Well, I am totally with you when it comes to compulsories, because then yeah, you know what to do. You just do it and you can get better at it with certain exercises, but doing freestyle, it's not always easier to put it together.
I think technical exercises is worth the risk, though.
You like them?
No,
no,
not at all.
It's not worth the risk. So, sorry, I get you wrong. Yeah, yeah, so you don't do technicals?
Yeah, well, I have to sometimes.
which ones do you do?
The backward needle is actually one of them I'm able to do.
Yes.
It's not really a needle, it's more like an angle or whatever.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort and time.
Yeah, And this mount to a shoulder stand.
Yeah.
Also one of the few exercises that I can do.
From the technicals, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the rest I just try to skip them.
Yeah, well, I'm about the shoulder stand. I think I like it quite good. The one arm stand, I think it's quite nice. The mount to shoulder stand, I really, yeah. The horse is so far away.
It's quite a far way off.
Yeah, I know it's just about the technique they tell me, but I think still think it's like so far away.
Yeah, obviously, but I'm missing a lot of technique then.
Yeah, well, but as you say, it is risky. I mean, something like the upcoming wheel is like, okay, it's still quite a safe one because you have your hands on your handles, even if it's a hard one. But the jump up from knees to standing backwards, I think that's really risky.
Yeah, I've been working a lot with that as well. I think half of the time I try, I'm going to land on my feet and everything is okay. But the other half, I'm just missing the horse.
Oops, horse gone. Dying. Well, is there anything you would like to change in the sport when it comes to competing?
No, I try to get a more focused on getting everybody into competing. So there should be room for everybody.
Yeah.
Of course, there's always room for those that are really good in the high levels. But I think we should make it possible for everybody to join. Also old people like me.
Like me and you.
Exactly. People like us.
Yeah.
It can be hard to compete in the high level together with like Amanda Stolzy.
Yes. Well, what would you think would be a good solution for this?
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know. One way is, of course, to make an entire new class for special people.
For special people, oh man, I love special.
In Finland, I've been helping Finland a bit with their competitions, and they have a class especially for, they call it a high level special.
High level special.
Yeah, something like that in Finnish.
Yeah.
So that's for the people who are, you know, they're good, but they're not good enough to make technical exercises and compete against the best vaulters.
Okay, okay. But do they do like freestyle and compulsory as individual, or do they do the technical as well and only the ones they can do? Or how does it work?
I think they just make freestyle and compulsories and then just skip the technical.
All right, yeah.
It's like I do, actually. I just make my ordinary freestyle and have to do this technical exercise. I just do my ordinary freestyle and then put in one or two technical exercises.
Yeah. Well, that's my plan too, but I know that the competition rules are totally different in Sweden and Denmark, because in Sweden we have, for senior, it is about the age and it is not about how good you are. In Denmark, it's a little bit different because you have the CVI classes, so 1-star, 2-star, 3-star for seniors. But in Sweden, it's just like, okay, you're old, you have to do everything as everybody else. So it's much harder for me to compete in Sweden than going to CVI or going to Denmark and compete. And I think that's really sad.
And it's also hard for if people are starting to voting, in their 20 or something like that. They have to begin with this very high level.
Yeah.
And compete against the very good voters.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're in a country where there are not a lot of vaulters and maybe there are three of them on the top all the time and you're like the last and it's like, yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I know I'm not good enough.
A lot of competitions, again, not a lot of guys in Denmark.
Yeah.
I've been in another competition where I get the early on placement, so I was in the top three. That's nice, but points below everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not easy. Well, and if you would think about your vaulting journey, what would you consider your biggest success? And it really doesn't have to be a competition. It could be, of course, but you decide.
This barrel cup.
Yeah, the barrel cup. Yeah. I get that. I really get it. Because it must be a lot of planning, right?
Oh, yeah. But this, the first year we were in Tivoli with the big final.
Yeah.
It took 1.5 years of planning.
No, really? Wow, that's such a long time.
Yeah, I was quite surprised as well.
I mean, for considering it to be a quite small competition compared to like an international horse competition where there is a horse as well, that's a really long time. How long time did it take the year after?
Yeah, in the entire year. So 1 week after we finished the final,
yeah,
we had a big meeting with the organizing committee inside Tivoli.
Yeah.
We start the planning of next year.
Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. And you're still planning for in the next year? Or is are there other people doing it this year?
This year it's gonna be other people.
Yeah, because you are gonna plan for the world championships, I mean.
Exactly.
Just small piece of competition. Not. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was in the Danish what you call it. The Danish Federation has a small committee working with vaulting that I've been a member of for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was here I made all these, I organized all these barrel cup and other competitions.
Yeah.
But I just, last year, I stepped out of this committee.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's cool. You're having a committee only for wooden horse competitions?
No, for all of
Georgie. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry, I did get it wrong. Yeah, we have that too in Sweden. I think most countries do have that. How old were you when you started doing vaulting in Canada? Did you always do it from the beginning or did it take time?
It did take some time. It was a quite small club I started in.
Yeah.
So we were doing walking for, I don't know, a few years. And then I started doing Canada.
Okay. Yeah. Was there a big difference for you in that?
I think it was actually nice. We started very slowly. We slowly graduation against more and more canter. Started doing the conservation canter and then we're doing a very easy freestyling canter and just building it up.
Mm. Yeah. And how do you train your horses in your club today so they become great vaulting horses and healthy vaulting horses?
We have some great people riding them every day. I'm not really a part of that. I have never been able to ride a horse myself.
Oh, you're that kind of vaulter.
Unfortunately, I have been trying a little bit, but yeah, there are a lot of people a lot better doing it than I am.
It's really funny you're admitting this, because I know another vaulter. I'm not going to tell who, but this person says, I don't know if the horse is... Or is this trotting at the moment or cantering? So you're not alone. There are other people around who are not so horsey people. I mean, you can still love the horse and be very careful about it and care
yes,
for
of
it.
Course.
But
yeah.
But I mean, I'm the ones who is more about the riding part too, because it's what started my riding journey, or actually not, but almost, yeah, yeah.
It's a really good thing for horses to do riding as well.
Yes, yes. At least to understand how much work there is in it too, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, look, vaulting is much more harder than riding, but it's hard to compare, right? Are there any more questions or topics you would like to talk about?
I think it did cover quite a lot.
Well, Thomas, that was an awesome time talking to you. Thank you so much for being part of the Vaulting Pod.
Of course.
So have a great day and see you.
If you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.